is basically our point guard, two guard, guarding their power forward, and he says, get that out of here. Brown with two stands down onto the Kumpo. 5 remaining. Tatum drives down.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Celtics Pulse, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Your episode today is going to be brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a fantasy betting app using prop bets covering all major sports. The link is in our bio. Use that link to double your first deposit. Free money, man. Check it out and be sure to use our promo code and enjoy a new spin on your fantasy sports experience. Also, our podcast is brought to you by Podcoin, a new app that lets you earn cash by listening to all your favorite podcasts. Earn points for every 10 minutes of listening and use your points towards earnings, purchases like gift cards and other prizes. Be sure to check out Podcoin and reap the benefits of listening to your favorite podcast. So, guys, obviously a thriller last night. Amazing performance by the Celtics towards the end of that game, especially with Kyrie. Kyrie dropping 37 points last night, looking like a man on fire. Wayne, what are your thoughts on the game last night?
I mean, the game was electric. It was very tight, close-knit, like that first half. Indiana started to pull, you know, some distance in that third quarter. I mean, that's Celtics fashion, third quarter struggle. and then Al Horford came in the game like with around 2 minutes left in the third quarter. And things just started to shift. Kyrie was on the bench. He was about to get his rest. Actually, Kyrie played the whole third quarter. So Kyrie had to take a big old timeout. And the fourth quarter, Al Horford came in at the end of the third. Celtics started turning stuff around. The crowd started getting electric. The place was loud. TD Bank Garden was just like on its feet the whole fourth quarter. They were biting their nails. It was a nail biter down to the end. It was playoff basketball. It was, you know, like if you check my sports show, people calling the Celtics first game boring. They only put up 84 points, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, you know, it was defensive. And then it was just like, but it was boring. And I'm like, oh, like, here we go with this Super Bowl boring talk. No one's scoring defense. That I'll tell you what. Kyrie was far from boring last night because that man was on fire, like you said in the intro. Like, he just would not stop. Yesterday, I watched the Celtics. I watched players, like, do what they – I wish they could have did all season. They were playing their roles. Like you said, Kyrie lit him up, 37. Should have had 41. Missed the free throw after we started chanting MVP. I was like, dag nabbit, we made him. We better never chant that again. He missed a couple of bunnies at the rim, but I mean, by then he had to be tired. I'm surprised they didn't go in, but Kyrie was on fire, man. I love Terry Rozier. Like, I know he's not scoring like he used to, but good Lord, he was playing. He had the intangibles covered yesterday. I'm talking about as far as like the defensive presence that he was getting. He wasn't forcing turnovers, but he was getting them to miss shots. That's just as good. And it was just a great game to watch. A great game to be at to watch. Like, I couldn't mind watching on TV. I probably would have broken some stuff. But being there was nothing to break. So it was definitely a great thing to watch.
And I think
very
Kyrie
jealous,
too.
Man, that you have to go. ahead, man.
Well, I was just about to transition over to you, man. I was just saying, you know, I think we finally got a glimpse of what we all wanted and hoped for last year. We finally got to see playoff Kyrie in Boston. He seemed amped and hyped over the whole thing. In between him and Tatum, you know, you had a total of 63 of your 99 points. So an absurd stat line for both of them. You know, you only had one other player who was in double digits. That's Gordon Hayward dropping 13 off the bench. But Derek, what were your personal takeaways from the game? Obviously with Mook and Terry being the hot topics for today.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, Mook, you know, putting up a bagel, you know, 0 points, not great. But, you know, I mean, it was the shot selection that was frustrating because, you know, there was a bunch of examples of people posting, you know, on Twitter of, you know, Mook driving the lane, the whole defense collapse. There's literally three guys wide open, including Gordon in the corner, right in his line of vision. and he still forces up a ridiculous layup that ended up being an air ball. That's just one example. Yeah, Morris, it's always been shot selection with him, and it's still a problem. You know, with a team like the Pacers, you can get away with this stuff. As I said in our last pod, I think this is the worst team in the playoffs. We got a lucky draw. You know, when they lost Oladipo, they turned into a sub-500 team. So, Mook's got to be better. I'm a Mook fan. I like, you know, his intensity. I like, you know, defensively, he brings a lot, too. So, if we can get him going and he can start hitting threes, I think that's where he can be, you know, a D and three guy. But he needs to stop chucking when the shot's not there. It seemed like he was forcing, and that was, you know, kind of surprising from one of your veteran guys.
I mean, I think he took – last night I watched him take a couple of shots that weren't forced. They just wouldn't fall for him.
That,
I mean,
too.
Like,
that, too.
There was the wide-open Terry Rozier made the guy fall. And I'm like, Terry, drive! And Terry passes it out for the wide-open three, which is you take. You were, like, down by one. You get that. You're up by two. I get it. And Morris just missed. It was like – with Morris, I'm trying to tell you guys, like, you got to let him shoot. You just don't want him to take the dumb shots, but you got to let him shoot because when he's hot. And it's just one of
He hasn't been hot for a while, Wayne, though. This isn't a new thing.
But it's a transition, man. Like we're changing up lineups. We're changing up matchups. People are on to him now. He's growing still in his role. Like, you got to understand, like, I'm not advocating, like, I want him to make the shots, like, but things are changing up on Morris, just like they change up on everybody. Morris isn't a Kyrie Irving superstar that's going to get his buckets. He can't beat people on one-on-one all the time. Like, that's just not his game. He can't even post you up. Sometimes, depending on height and size, it may go in, but that's just not his game. He's not a great post. He's just an overall average good player, but when he's hot, he's hot, and we're not complaining about him when he's hot. So we got to let him get hot. Like, we gotta allow him to shoot. We just don't want him to take those stupid shots. And you said that Indiana was the worst team in the playoffs. Man, you crazy.
Who's worse?
Orlando.
Right, well, Blake Griffin.
No.
Blake Griffin. No, wait. If Blake Griffin comes back, they are much better than Indiana now.
It doesn't matter. Detroit is still the worst team.
With Blake Griffin, they're better.
If Blake Griffin was there, Detroit would win zero games against them Bucks. And you know it.
Okay,
The Bucks.
Order in the court. Hang on.
I'm just saying, Detroit is the worst team in the playoffs.
I think personally, I agree with Wayne on the fact that I do think Detroit is the worst team in the playoffs. Part of that does have to do with the Griffin injury.
Absolutely.
I think if Griffin was healthy, I think they could still win maybe a game, maybe two. But
it would be more exciting.
No, it definitely would be more exciting than what it is now. It's a slugfest. I mean, to be fair, I've been 2 out of 3 on the bottom seed so far for stealing that first game. So happy about that. But I just don't – with the Pacers, it's a different team. You know, I think the Pacers –
they're definitely different.
They've been without Depot for long enough that they've learned to play without him. Not saying that they are a better team, but it's like with the Celtics when they lost Kyrie, when they lost, you know, Hayward, and you don't have those two main guys to support you. You've got guys who are getting more looks, more shots. You've got a higher usage rating for certain players, and your team kind of rallies around that, and you've got a different identity. It's what allowed the Celtics to go to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They were able to adapt. The Pacers have adapted. They play a harder defensive situation than the Pistons can because the Pistons expected to have Griffin. I expected the Pistons to have Griffin, and that didn't happen.
I just think that Detroit is the worst out of all teams. We might be
splitting hairs here. I mean, without Blake Griffin and Oladipo on these rosters, I think both of them are I don't think there's much argument that they're the two worst teams in the league. In the playoffs, which one is worse? That's where, again, I think we're splitting hairs here. I think like Drummond and Turner is kind of a wash. I actually like Turner a little more now. I think he's a better defensive player.
Really?
But Drummond's a beast, dude. So I think Turner defensively is a game changer.
I think Drummond's more one-dimensional than I think Turner is. Turner can defend like a big like Al Horford can, where he can play the perimeter a little bit, and he's not just solely, you know, forced to be a paint patroller, you know?
But other than that, your best player is Bogdanovich right now. I mean, offensively.
Right.
So, I mean, big yike.
Not that player you want with the ball. Like, they're missing Oladipo. Give him the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I got you. Hey, let me tell you what's pissing me off last night. Like, the ride home from Boston, right? 2.5 hour ride. Had to stop. Decided to eat, right? Whatever. This is what was pissing me off. No one, not one. Analyst, not one person on NBA radio, blah blah blah, whatever series. No one was giving Boston credit for coming and taking that game. It was like Indiana lost the game. They lost because, you know, they don't have their player that can get them the bucket at the end of the game, blah 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 blah. They were winning the whole game. Boston came back and took that game. They should have been in the lead in the first place. But to see that perseverance, resilient, that was, they had to dig deep to win that game.
I mean, I agree, but Indiana also threw up on themselves. I mean, Wesley Matthews throwing the ball into the fucking stands.
Hey,
Tyreek dribbling out of bounds, all in within 30 seconds.
Bro, we have more turnovers than their whole team times two.
I know, but it's when? Timely turnovers.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, those pace of turnovers were the game. That was it.
Hey, man. That's the players they got. It's not my fault we don't turn the ball over late. I hope we play better. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, they got a guy, Wes Matthews, that they signed, you know, midway through the year.
Yeah, so
they're like relying on him. So that's, I mean, considering, Indiana's done a lot to, you know, make the fifth seed, you know, losing Oladipo and, you know, get guys starting that were on different, you know, were free agents at one point.
That's what you said. If the season was longer, they probably would have dropped to eighth. Like, easily. Like, they did. Or if the injury, not advocating injury, but the injury would have happened earlier, they probably would have dropped to eighth. Like, that's just the trend that they're on. But they're still a pain in our behind, and we're not easily beating them.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, everyone's complaining, like you mentioned, they're calling the games boring because of the point totals, but this is Indiana. This is their style of ball. So
this is their style of ball.
We just got to do it better, and that's what we've kind of done, you know? I mean, yeah, I say kind of because I want us to light up. I want the offense to really click for one game, kind of like it
did. Just one game, right?
I mean, in Indiana, we put a whooping on them, you know, pretty much. So we can do it.
It's possible. Exactly. It's been done. Look, I expect a clean sweep. I know it might not happen, but I expect it. We're the dominant. I feel like we're the better team overall. We have the better players. We just have to click. And I would love for us to go into Indiana on Friday night, win on Sunday on Easter, so I can enjoy my game of and my cup of tea. And we call it. We get some rest. You get what I'm saying? Like, that would be ideal, perfect. And that's what the Celtics need. That would help the Celtic team, the organization, the fans, the nation, everybody in Boston, they could use that because they already know that the next test up is probably going to be the championship.
So the counter argument to that is the longer the series goes, the longer that Marcus Smart gets to rest or Milwaukee. So again, you always just want to close out a series. It's the playoffs. I get that. Okay. But you need Marcus. Thinking. You don't.
Amen.
To hang with Milwaukee. Milwaukee looks good. I'm looking forward to, I'm not going to look ahead yet, but it certainly looks like Milwaukee Celtics is happening than later.
I agree.
It's probably happening like next week based on both these series. If they go longer than five games, we'd probably all be surprised.
No Marcus Smart, right? Who is defending Eric Bledsoe?
Ooh. I guess Kyrie and Jaylen.
That's the hard. That's their. I don't know if you've been following him, but
yeah, he's been playing good. Yeah, he's been good.
But when we played him in the past, we've been able to contain him and just let Giannis be Giannis.
Well, it's Harry all played him,
right? And that's why those games always been close.
And that's what we got to see with Terry too. Getting back to the most previous game, you know, we covered Mook, but we haven't really talked about Terry as much as we should. You know,
I'm telling
you. Myself personally, I got to have like It's like a mini mea culpa. It's like I'm still kind of right, but like I also got to give him props when he does well.
Yeah,
this is the time that Terry needs to play well. And while it's statistically he ain't lighting up the stat sheet, he had a plus 19 last night.
He did. Now, when you say play well, you're not necessarily meaning we need Terry to be out to be the scoring point guard, whatever, blah, 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 blah. We just need him to overall have a great game.
Yes.
Turnovers, great assists, good looks, good shot, blah, blah,
play
blah.
Play smart.
Blah, blah, right?
Play smart. Yes. Play smart.
Yeah. No pun intended. Gotcha.
Yeah, right?
That's what we need.
I mean, speaking of, he did play like smart last night, though. He had, again, a shout-out to Chris Grenham with Nesson with the stat on Twitter. Terry Rozier had a game-best defensive rating of 62.2 last
night. Yes, sir.
Right? That's the best defensive rating of any player in the NBA so far this postseason. It's very Marcus Smart-like. So, yeah, if Terry could turn into a defensive stud, I mean, wow, that would be quite the unexpected storyline of the postseason. Not that Terry was necessarily ever a bad defender, but he was never, you know, Smart or Jalen. I mean, Jalen's been excellent defensively this series too. So,
I mean, yeah, Terry's
earned it.
But they were grooming that when Terry Rozier was drafted, he was grooming to be that Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart understudy, kind of sort of in between. Like he could score a little bit, shoot a little bit better than Smart, get to the basket better, but he could still clamp on a D. And we didn't use him offense when we first had him a couple years ago. So it was like he was definitely focused on in on his defense. So if he can flip his pages back to then and just still take those good shots, I still want him to shoot. You want him. That's another person you want on fire. Because when they on, geez, that's that offensive click you need. When him and Morris are hitting shots, you're not beating us. You're not beating us. There's no way it's happening. Because Kyrie's still going to get his 20, right? 23. Al Horford's still going to get you do his job. It's going to be really hard. So that to me, that is like, that is our only like struggle, like not everybody being able to be on. It happens. That's why you said when we went out to Indiana and we destroyed him, everybody was on. I mean, the bench was hitting shots. Off the bench, like sit on the bench, switch.
Yeah, Wanamaker had a nice game, actually. I mean, he hasn't played yet in the postseason, but even Wanamaker was getting in on it in Indiana. So, yeah,
you see what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. So, like with Terry Rozier, he did tweet something. I think he said something in an interview and somebody else tweeted. I can't remember what it was. Something like about him, like not being here all season or something like that. And I kind of didn't know how to interpret that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Because some people were just like, he just needs to shut up. And I'm like, well, like, what if he really feel like he finally feel like he himself again? Like, what, like maybe he's coming to fruition. Oh, this is where I need to be. This is what I need to be doing. Blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, like you said, he was the best defensive player on the court without any steals. He was awesome. He was the reason why the 12-point deficit ended up into a 6-point lead to win. Guarantee it. He was the reason.
He was part of it. I mean, Tatum down the stretch was pretty money, too, the last minute especially. And Al on the defensive end, I mean, Al, that block on Bogdanovic. Yeah, that was beautiful.
But that run didn't start without Terry Rozier. And I'm going to tell you guys, when Brad took him out to put Hayward in, that's when Bogdanovic hit that three. And I said to myself, if Brad don't call timeout, which we probably didn't have any, and put Rozier back in the game, we are going to struggle. And did we not? We did. He hit a three, and I think Wesley Matthews hit a three, and we were losing at that point. And then Tatum missed his first three, and then got hit the big one, the one that counted. But I'm not saying Hayward is bad, but against Bogdanovic, he's a liability. Against Bogdanovic, like Bogdanovic is bigger and quicker and more Euro. I made that up. He can maneuver and get around you and get the ball in the basket. That's amazing to me. So I'm not, Terry Rozier wasn't on Bogdanovic, but the rotations would have been a little bit different. And that's how we were down by 12 points, guys. I'm telling you, it was like, man, it was quiet. And people were just like, that. They were pulling out their hair. Like, we didn't know what was going on. People started to say, oh, here we go again, blah, blah, blah. And then the stuff started happening. They started missing shots. We started playing better perimeter defense. Al Horford came in the game, changed the game. He started hitting shots. Remember, Al wasn't scoring in the first half. I don't know if he was.
He finished with 4 points, so it wasn't his best offensive night, but he was sick.
It wasn't.
And Miles Turner, like I said, he can D up.
Al Horford flu game.
Yeah, Al Horford flu.
My Horford was a beast. I mean, Miles Turner was a beast. He's hard to defend, and then when he stretches you out, it's just like,
Well, that last 51 seconds was crazy. Like,
yes,
it was insane. There, like, legit, and then like that fourth quarter was also crazy too.
I'm
like,
trying to tell you.
They didn't hit a single field goal. They hit three threes, and then that was it. I think they might have gotten a couple free throws. I mean, it was bananas.
That's gotta be
like
coaching, bro. That's gotta be credit to Brad Stevens for figuring something out.
Now that play they ran, at the end of the game to get the Tatum the dunk. Even though we were up, I think four at the time or three at the time, but they ran a beautiful play. It was just the Tatum. Maybe was it an A1 the Tatum dunk?
The dunk Tatum got the and-one on.
Yes. With 2 seconds left. Oof. That was just a beautifully executed play, clearly drawn up during the timeout.
Don't you miss those?
Yeah, I mean, it was beautiful.
It was like yesterday, they were doing plays out of the timeout, and we would turn the ball over. Yeah. Or one time, Gordon Hayward stepped out of bounds. I'm like, dude, these are out of timeouts. Like, we got to score.
That's the money.
But again, it also helps when, you know, Indiana just completely – you know, shit themselves in the last minute. I mean,
which is what we need.
Bounds, kicking it out of bounds.
Found money. You gotta
an awful defense. It was just bizarre. I mean, Indiana really
mental lapse.
But you gotta take advantage of that, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good teams do.
That's what these good teams are supposed to do that. And that's what I was saying earlier. It's like, hey man, it's my fault Wesley decided to throw the ball into the game. I should have caught it. I wouldn't have gave it back. But like, yeah, like it's just one of those things. We needed that win. That was a good win at home. Let's go on the road. Let's get it done. I'm actually excited to watch us play on the road. The comments that Kyrie made at the end of the game, talking about us as a team, and that I almost cried. Like that,
I got emotional.
I haven't heard that all season, and it was just like, oh man, he said us. He said team.
He just needs to remember to keep that energy when they don't win, because you're not going to win every game in the playoffs. At least if they did, I'd be shocked. So you got to stay level headed and not get too much into a loss.
You're right. We're normal. He ain't. So I get it. When they lose, they take it a little bit different. So I kind of understand where they're coming from. But you're right. I need you to like chirp him in his head and be like, listen, okay. It's okay. It's okay.
I think he got it towards the end because he was
ready for the end of the season, right?
He seemed to just stop saying young guy.
Yep.
Like, yep. All right, we're focused on the postseason.
Yeah, and I think as it comes to game three, I think it's split the difference. I think they'll win. You know, last time they were in Indy, they won by 20 points. I think this time they'll probably win by 10 on the road and close it out.
I think Indiana is going to come out, you know, with a lot of vigor, we'll say. They got a lot of animal. They're probably pissed. I mean, you got to think Wesley Matthews and Tyreke Evans, those two turnovers. Just the way the game, they probably could have, you know, they could have won that game. And they just.
They could have won.
Going in front of. And Indiana's a pretty good, usually a decent crowd. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, if. The Celtics are the better team, so they should win. But again, it's just we'll see. I mean, I think the Celtics. So I think it goes five. I think we close it in Boston. I think we either lose game three or four, and then we win game five, and then that clinches the series. That's my prediction based on what I've seen thus far. I think the Celtics have moments like last night. Like you said, they were down 12 at one point, and.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get away with that on the road as much in the playoffs. But
we got Kyrie, man. I know we got Kyrie. that's just the one difference maker. And
we got the Duke boys. Don't leave out.
Don't leave out Tatum.
I'm not. They play consistent. Tatum plays a consistent certain way all game.
They play great. It.
And Kyrie is just that one you want to come in and just say, all right, guys, let's close this out.
Like, but do you know what I liked about last night? Tatum had 20 field goal attempts. I love it. He's been reserved, taking like 10 a game all year.
But here's the thing, you are a scorer.
You are born to score.
He's the second best scorer on the Celtics. It's been that all season statistically. He didn't take the shots. I don't understand. He just wouldn't take the shot.
He wasn't hesitating last night though, and that's what he needs.
He didn't hesitate last year in the playoffs neither.
And I know he's a playoff
playoff guy.
If I'm the Pelicans, when the lights are on every postseason.
Yeah, when the lights are on, he shows up, and that's all that matters, yo. You know, you stay. What did he miss? One game this season? Maybe I think one. Due to some type
back.
Of injury.
Yeah, he had a back thing. Yeah, they're probably resting him, but they said
you
back.
Had him miss one. He missed one. He would have played all eight. He would play every game. I had that one. I'm happy. Let's get into this last segment because I know we got to talk about AD. I got to get going. I don't want to get fucked.
I know. Because I had mentioned Nola. And I mentioned them watching Tatum and probably salivating like this kid every postseason, you know, is just a stud. So,
I don't want to give up Tatum.
Yeah, if you want to transition here, the AD, the new GM has come out and said that he wants to convince AD to stay, and he might not necessarily be looking to trade him right away. And I think I heard I didn't see AD directly say it, but I heard that he said that he might be open to staying now. I don't know if somebody
that is bullshit.
I think it's bullshit too. So anyways, is Griffin fucking just trying to, you know, my theory is Griffin is trying to pump up the value. Oh, we might not even trade him, so that means teams got to give up more to try to pry him.
It's an upsell. It's 100% an upsell. I mean, Griffin has come out publicly and been like, you know, if I were the Pelicans GM, which is funny now that he is, you know, I want, a young player on a good contract who has potential to be a star. I want a solid role player, and I want draft capital. So those are three things. Those are three boxes the Celtics check off. It's just a question of who it is. And I think the Celtics draft capital.
I don't think he's thinking Jalen, but go ahead.
I think the Celtics have enough draft capital to make it work. It's just a question of who and what that asking price is going to be. Personally, for me, I mean, I would love AD, but with the attitude being as it is right now, I'm not completely sold on it. I don't know about you guys, but one interesting thing to note is while we were doing this pod, Woj dropped a bomb, or a mini bomb, maybe a tactical nuke, if you will. There's a story coming out of New Orleans. They're trying to get permission to talk with a senior front office role for a Clippers assistant GM, Trent Redden. Trent Redden, to give you an idea, this is information from Woj. He worked in Cleveland with Griffin. So there's that connection there. But on top of that, he's been working for the Clippers. So there's a little theory here. Yeah. I would not rule out the Clippers as a potential suitor for Anthony Davis. I think this increases the chances of AD not getting traded to the Lakers, as if that ship hadn't already sailed. And I personally think the outcome of the draft lottery is going to have a big hand in it. It depends on if you want the Celtics pick to convey in the top 10 from the Grizzlies this year, or if you think that that chance of it conveying next year or the year after gives you more time. But
I don't think the Clippers have the assets to land AD. I mean, what are they going to give up? Shiles Alexander? Like, is that really going to? Is that going to? I don't know. So we'll I don't know. The Clippers, I would say no. I think the drive with some. I still think that Lakers, the rumored package was pretty formidable. So, I mean, I think the Lakers, because they said no then doesn't mean they can't say yes later. They just want to see what the Celtics or even the Knicks, if, you know, whoever wins the lottery, the draft lottery, I mean, they may want Zion or John Morant, you know, then we're talking, you know, one of the teams that were
you know, whoever wins, you know, whoever get where the ping pong balls fall. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. But, you know, at the end of the day, I've maintained it and I'll stay steadfast. Tatum is not on the table for Anthony Davis. And that's just my, you know, that's just my take there. I just, the Tatum, you know, again, second year player, just a postseason performer. We've seen it now. I mean, I know it's only two games in thus far, but again, he's just, I just, rookie deal. So you've got control for a long time. Gives you a lot of flexibility as far as, you know, moves they can make this offseason. Because if you take on Anthony Davis and extend him, now that's pretty much it. So I don't know. What do you think, Tim?
I think the situation is a complex one. This is, as I've said before, it's a different beast of a situation as compared to, you know, Kyrie Irving or Paul George or, you know, even the situation with Kawhi Leonard. You've got a guy who's, to put it frankly, making a scene. And at this point, I think in terms of damage done, without him coming out and outright saying, I am leaving, I'm not staying, it's really close to the Paul George situation, but on a completely different magnitude. We're talking about Anthony Davis, who is a generational player, especially at his position. You know, he's had a slew of injuries, so his health is concerned, but if you acquire him, what is your team's ceiling? What's the asking price? You know, what's the asking price for a player like this, especially if he's willing to commit long-term to your franchise? That in itself is the biggest question for Danny Ainge.
I think the answer is Tatum. The answer is Tatum.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
I don't either, either, man. So that's why I think, I don't know. I mean,
I think if it came down to it, I think if Anthony Davis said, I don't want to play for the Clippers, I don't want to play for the Lakers, I certainly don't want to play for the goddamn trash-ass Knicks, that I, in turn, would like to play with Kyrie Irving in Boston, and I want to play with Tatum, then maybe that's a chance they can work something out. I think there's enough draft capital in the Celtics' arsenal to make it work. If all goes according to plan, or at least, if it all pans out okay, the Celtics might have upwards of 4 picks in the first round this year, and I bet I would bet
that future Memphis pick is pretty, you know, getting more valuable each year.
Well, that's the thing, too, is if it conveys this year in the top 10, great, you got a top 10 pick. If it doesn't convey this year, okay, it can convey at a higher position next year, or the year after that, it's completely unprotected. So it really depends. Does, you know, not that they really have a say in it, but like if New Orleans is like, oh, well, if the pick doesn't convey, great, like it could be an awesome pick, you know, in a year or two. Or like, great, it's another top 10 pick to add to our core. You get 4 first round picks, even spread out even between this year and next year, or if you get all 4 of the Celtics first round picks this year and you get other assets, that's a shot in the arm to a franchise that needs it. You can run out young guns, you can add into what you've got for a core, or you can, if there's guys you want to trade away, Jrue Holiday, you want to trade him away for more assets, that's something that's doable. You know, you've got enough capital there on the Celtics side of things to make a lot of options open. I still don't rule out the fact that Kevin Durant might be coming. And maybe that changes the situation too. Maybe you don't need to go ahead and pour all these assets into getting Anthony Davis because Kevin Durant wants to play with Kyrie Irving. You know, it doesn't matter where it is. He wants to play with them. So maybe he comes to the situation of Boston, a situation that was, you know, sadly, you know, a spurned summer ago or summer or two ago at this point. But it's a situation in Boston that is viable for stars to come to. It's just a matter of making the money work.
No, that's the thing. I think Durant is a potential. I think it's more realistic than people give it credit for. Though, unfortunately, it would mean you'd have to, like you said, make some financial moves to make it work. And I think that means Hayward and or Horford.
I think Horford takes a pay cut to play with Kevin Durant because I think he wanted to play with Kevin Durant for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he wants a would value at the point in his career, read the playoffs every year of his career. He's been to the Eastern Conference Finals, what, 3 times now? And he wants a ring. And he knows what that means for his Hall of Fame potential as well.
He gets a ring. He's a Hall of Famer.
So, I think he's a Hall of Famer already, but I'm a homer.
But yeah, I mean, exactly. We're hoping for a guy who didn't almost even get drafted by the team, bro.
He's made the playoffs every year of his career. So he got drafted by a lottery team in Atlanta and immediately made them a playoff team. That's just he's a very underrated player. He's like a Tim Duncan light, except he can shoot threes a little better. But yeah, man, I mean, I would love to make this work if we can.
I think there's the funny thing about it is I think there's less hurdles in acquiring Kevin Durant than there is in trying to acquire Anthony Davis.
All you have to do is convince Durant, and then Durant, you know, then Golden State says, all right, well, he's a free agent. He can either they'd have to work out a sign and trade essentially because of the money situation.
And maybe it doesn't have to be a sign and trade. This is like hear me out.
Horford's not coming back for the vet minimum.
He wouldn't come back for the vet minimum, no. But I mean, you've got other assets. You can make other deals if need be. And like as we were saying before, you know, you're gonna have 4 first round picks. You know, maybe you make something else work. So the beauty of the situation is there are hard decisions coming in the Celtics' future. You know, it's do you put all efforts towards getting Anthony Davis, or do you, you know, try and make a run at Kevin Durant in free agency and hope you can sway him? Or are you trying to do something even bigger, trying to get both of them? Who the hell knows? You know, the Celtics have a really interesting and troublesome situation with trying to get Kyrie to re-sign here. Emotions-wise, everything seems like everything's good now, so here's hoping we have a nice, fruitful playoff run, and he's convinced to stay. But there's a lot of doors the Celtics go through this offseason, and there's no point in getting too caught up in dissecting it now. I think we just kind of have to enjoy the here and now. We have to enjoy having Jason Tatum and Green, and you know, don't take any of it for granted. I think it's easier because, you know, when it was last year, you didn't have the whole team there, and, you know, whatever they had, it was found money. And now at this point, you actually have something to lose. You know, if you have a swift second-round exit, or if, you know, you choke away this 2-0 lead in the first round, that completely changes your playoff landscape. It changes your team. In your franchise future. So it's very crucial that the Celtics stay in the here and now. And from the players' perspective, it seems like they are in the here and now and they're together in it.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Winning always helps. So when you're up 2-0 in the first round, you know, everything's going great. You know, we'll see if they, you know, hit, you know, maybe you're, you know, like I said, they do lose game 3 and then they're kind of feeling like, all right, let's turn it on. And then we see how they react. But, you know, I'm just, you know, what we've seen so far, you know, especially from Kyrie. And I think Al last night, you know, kind of gets a pass, you know, for his, you know, substandard offensive numbers just because of the whole, like you said, he had the flu the night before. And, you know, I mean, so when this team really starts clicking, we need to get Smart back, I think, to be at our best. But, you know, we got to work with what we got here. And I think, this weekend will hopefully be. It'd be nice if it would be over on Easter Sunday. I just think that Indiana will get one in Indy, but we'll see.
They're a good team, so hopefully it will. But who knows? Let's see what happens. Either way, it'll be fun. So let's see how it plays out. Other than that, do you have anything else to add, Derek?
No, man. That's really time. We record. It'll be two games that have gone off, right?
Yep. We got game Monday, 3 Friday. So it's 8:30.
And then Sunday. What time is Sunday's game?
Sunday's at 1 p.m. I checked it earlier.
Oh, that blows.
I love it.
I got to go all over the place with family and stuff. So, all right. Well, I'll definitely have to record and watch that family kid stuff. And so, you know, that'll be yeah, so no spoilers in any group chats. But yeah, other than that, no, man, just, let's enjoy this. What we've been waiting for, the playoffs. You know, we've all season when things were going bad, you know, they weren't ever going terrible, but they were going bad for a little bit there. We all said, you know, this team is built for the postseason, and hopefully we can keep this run up.
Amen to that. And I also want to say thank you for Wayne hopping on. He had a bounce, but awesome to have Wayne on. And please give us all a follow on Twitter. Celtics_Pulse, and make sure you catch us on the next episode. We'll have another one post game up probably Saturday at this point because the time of the game on Friday. But thank you guys again for listening, and have a good one.
All right, later.